Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Healing Together is a series of intimate and thoughtful conversations hosted by SFU alums Salome Mengo Morales, Ira Rishi, undergraduate student Kovo, and myself, Paola Quiroz Cruz, one of the educators at the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office. Featuring guests from diverse professional and life experiences, these interviews explore how healing, while deeply personal, is also profoundly communal. Healing thrives when communities come together to create spaces, attitudes, and practices that support it. Join us as we listen, reflect, and reimagine healing as a shared responsibility. In this episode, Daniel Sheriff, social worker and associate director of the SFU's Black Student Center, joins COA for a powerful conversation about individual and collective healing. Together, they explore how community can help move people from isolation, shame, and powerlessness towards connection, self-acceptance, and empowerment. Daniel reflects on his own experiences as a Black man, highlighting how systemic barriers like implicit racism impacts healing and why vulnerability, safety, and brotherhood are essential. The discussion also delves into the transformative role of collective action and advocacy in creating change for individuals and communities. This conversation includes references to sexualized violence. We encourage you to care for yourself and reach out to support resources if needed.
I'm Kwa Vo, one of your hosts for this series. I'm part of the advisory panel for the Sexual Violence and Prevention Office at SFU. I'm an undergrad here hoping to get into SFU School of Medicine. My lived experiences and studies allow me to explore the complexities of human behavior, trauma, resilience, and ways towards healing. In today's episode, I'm joined by Daniel Sheriff, the new Associate Director of SFU's Black Student Center, responsible for programming, service delivery, and operations. He has held roles in team leadership, program management, and executive level directorship, including his most recent position as Director of Operations for Child, Youth, and Mental Health in the South Fraser region with the Ministry of Children and Family Development, BC Public Service. His work will offer insight into how we can build communities that truly support healing. Together, we'll be exploring healing and masculinities. I also want to acknowledge that this episode was recorded on the unceded traditional Coast Salish lands of the Tsleil-Waututh, Coquitlam, Squamish, and Musqueam nations. We're so grateful to have Daniel with us today to share his reflections and word. So before we dive deep into community and masculinities, I'd love to start on a personal note. Daniel, when you hear the word healing, what is the first image, word, or feeling that comes to mind? And why do you think that came up for you?
Well, thanks for the question there, Kwa. I do appreciate that. Also want to acknowledge again that, I want to acknowledge our Métis and Inuit brothers and sisters, as well as our First Nations brothers and sisters and all the Indigenous communities on this land that we, from a colonial perspective, called Canada, but it is known as Turtle Island. So thank you for highlighting that. When it comes to healing, for sure, for me, what comes to mind is the word holistic process. I view healing as a process that encompasses an array of different kinds of things. And some of those things would be from an area of cultural groundness or being grounded in my ethnic and racial identity, as well as my social identity. I also view healing as a process of self-acceptance. For me, it's to the point where if I can accept what I have gone through, regardless of what it is, for example, if it's through emotional trauma, physical trauma, medical, spiritual, or psychological, whatever the scope of healing that we're talking about here, for myself, when I'm in a process of self-accepting where I'm at right now, acknowledging and reflecting what I have gone through, and to be comfortable with where I am at right now and where I'm going, that is something that helps me to understand the concept of healing. And then the other piece for me, when it comes to the holistic concept of healing, I would say would be spiritual. That's spiritual healing. For me, I have a spiritual connection with a higher power, and I pay attention to that. And for me, that is my core. That's what keeps me going. And so paying attention to that and knowing that that is always with me, that is something that I find exceptionally important, for my process of healing, again, regardless of how we define it. So to go back to your question here, I look at it through a holistic lens, holistic process, a holistic journey, that may not even have an endpoint, but it's a journey nonetheless.
Yeah, thank you for that, Daniel. Your journey and your approach to healing as an holistic approach is really insightful. So now we're going to dive into some deeper questions. So as you know, the theme of this series is that healing is both personal and collective. So I'd like to ask you, what does communal healing mean to you?
Communal healing. It's an interesting question. I mean, never really thought about the concept of healing through a group or community perspective. It's always, I always looked at healing, again, depending on the level, the degree, the scope. There's just so many things in how we can define it and healing. But when looking at healing through a communal process or communal definition, I'm kind of looking at the concept of moving from an individual process of healing to more of a group slash community process of healing. And by that I mean, I'm thinking that a communal process of healing doesn't necessarily mean me, but it includes the people around me. Possibly those individuals who have experienced what I experienced. Those folks who would also be going through a process of healing themselves. But we share something. We share a commonality. We share a common denominator, which would be that traumatic event that had impact us all. And so when I'm looking at the communal healing concept, I'm looking at a group community healing process. I'm looking at something that involves myself and other individuals and a process that myself and other individuals would need to go through, where all of us will get to a point of acceptance. All of us will get to a point of understanding, of acknowledgement. And all of us that would get to a point of having a shared story and having the ending of that shared story be similar. A process where myself and these other individuals would, start to initiate practices that would be healthy for us all. A process that involves myself and these other individuals. And again, it could be a family, it could be community, it could be just a set of individuals who have gone through an experience with one another. But that kind of a healing process where we're focusing on collective action as a result of what we're going through, and we're seeking from one another a form of collective power. And so those are some of the things that comes to mind when I'm thinking about communal healing. And when diving into this concept a little bit more, communal healing actually has more tendons connected to us more than what we think. Because even if we are experiencing something individually, there is a high likelihood that other folks have experienced the same thing as well. And so finding community within the misery, finding community within the trauma, finding community within the tough healing experience, or it doesn't have to be a tough healing experience, it could be just the healing experience, but finding a community with respect to what we're going through, moving away from that kind of isolation, I think is linked to us through a communal healing sense. And it is something that probably most folks don't think about, but I believe it's out there for folks to explore, particularly those who do feel comfortable in group settings and healing in a group setting process, because there are those who do not. So anyhow, those are some of the things that comes to mind when I'm thinking about communal healing.
Yeah, that's great. That idea of acceptance, understanding, and acknowledgement really resonates with me. But it also makes me wonder about the kinds of spaces that allow that healing to unfold, right? With the shared stories, as you mentioned. So I wonder, what kinds of spaces, be it physical, emotional, or cultural, have supported your healing or the healing of those around you or the ones that you support?
Yeah, the spaces is a really interesting piece too, because again, you're right. It depends on how we define that. When it comes to, I know there's a, we'll get into it a little bit more for sure, but a physical space for me, it would definitely be a places that I call home. If I can call somewhere home, that within itself is healthy for me. That could be my actual home. That could be the country where my parents have come from. It could be from where I was born. And it could be, to be quite honest, I'm going to go a little bit further. It could be a basketball court, a football field. Those kinds of places that I feel comfortable, that I feel myself in. For me, it could also be a place of spiritual worship. And for me, that is something that, even though that could be anywhere, at the end of the day, but it's where I define it as home. And so it's a little bit complex for me as opposed to, I'm sure, a lot of other folks. But, the first thing that comes to mind is home. And when I look at home, it encompasses all of those elements you identified there, Kwa. It identifies the cultural pieces. It identifies the spiritual pieces where I worship, where I pray. It identifies where I get physical activity to help my mind and my body, be balanced with one another. Could be in a football field, it could be a basketball court, it could be the gym, it could be even the community, it could be the woods when I can go for a nice hike. So it's almost like there is a continuity of spaces, and the good thing here is I don't put barriers on those spaces. That's one thing for me. When we look at multiple spaces in within the question, I just want to convey this clear message is that there are no boundaries, there's no walls, and no ceiling with respect to what I define spaces. And it really comes down to me where I feel comfortable. And I feel comfortable in multiple places, and I can call multiple places home. And it doesn't have to be a physical spot, but it's really a connection that I really cannot describe. It's something that's special. So it's limitless. And it's ongoing. And that helps me to be in a position to heal consistently every day, because I think we all go through stuff every day. But to heal every day, everywhere, and give him my opportunity, giving myself that chance and opportunity to do so.
Yeah, those spaces and practices you define as home, you've shared with us how healing isn't only internal, but it's shaped by what surrounds us, right? Be it the physical city, the city spaces, or even spaces without boundaries. So building on that, I want to ask about the broader role of community involvement. So in your professional experience, Daniel, how does community involvement impact an individual's healing process, especially after trauma or violence?
One of the things about the community concept and the power of community is that I find that community plays a powerful role in helping us to draw away from that bug we call isolation. And some folks like to be isolated. You know, there's no doubt about it when they're walking along their healing journey. I'm one of them. There are times I just say, man, just leave me alone. I just need some elbow room. Just give a brother some elbow room, Let me think, let me process, give me time. And that is completely and utterly healthy and appropriate. However, when I will get to the point where I can no longer be isolated, either physically, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, I would need to look for the opposite end of the spectrum, and that is a sense of belonging. I can experience a sense of belonging within myself, which is self-acceptance of healing, what I mentioned before. But when I want to take it to another level, and I want to be within a group, if I want to be surrounded by people that I love, that I trust, or I want to be exploratory. Test the waters a little bit, because I'm a little bit of a jagged type of a person like that. I'm just going to go out there and take the risks once in a while. I'm someone who's very comfortable with being uncomfortable. So sometimes, if I want to test, let me get back to see where I'm at. I want to just go out there and see what's up. That is where that community aspect comes into play. It helps. It is a process to help me f understand the concept here, or help me to understand the concept of I am no longer alone in this, and we are here for you, and we got your back. And I believe through my 20 plus 25 plus years of being a social worker, working in multiple areas within the profession of social work, many diff populations who have experienced an array of different kinds of things, harsh things. I do believe that there is always that concept of the folks that I've worked with feeling good, knowing that they're not alone. And I think the community aspect of healing brings to that and speaks to that. It also helps an individual, in my opinion, to move away from a process of shame, that individual shame, if they do experience that through their journey. And I definitely have experienced that through very tough times in my life, but through a point transitioning from shame to a period of validation. A period of being acknowledged, being accepted, and dismissing that level of shame, saying that you've been through that, you got through that, you made this mistake, or you should have done this and you should have done that. This is the outcome. Now what? What are we going to do? And community helps me to do that. Consulting with people I trust and know, and being around people who I trust and know, that really helps me. And again, the other thing too is it helps me to transition from a period of feeling powerlessness, or feeling powerless, I should say, to a process of being a part of an agency. And what I mean by that is having the ability to advocate now. Advocate for those who have experienced something similar. That's where that communal healing kind of thing comes into play again. That self or collective advocacy. Let me make sure that these pieces don't happen again. And also to a point of speaking my truth and being comfortable with that openly. And community, in my opinion, contributes to my ability to get there, to do that, and to be comfortable with that. So the concept of community healing, it does have some very powerful connections to growth and development, especially those who've experienced some form of trauma, regardless of what it is, or some hardship, or have come from difficult places. A community aspect, in my opinion, through what I just shared with you, contributes to one's journey, in my opinion, particularly through mine, getting closer and closer to that concept of what we would call a healing outcome.
Yeah, I wanted to maybe touch more on, you mentioned your work as a social worker and with advocacy and trying to build that sense of justice for the communities that you support. Can you please expand on what that sort of advocating looks like to those who are not able to advocate themselves or for those who are unable to seek healing or seek sort of that process of community?
What that looks like, particularly when it comes to those who just cannot do it for themselves, that's kind of like how I'm just trickling in down from here from you, is from my experience, the keys to success to lead into that would be a patience, time, and understanding. Advocacy and moving forward towards a greater outcome, a better outcome, takes time, takes patience. Takes an open mind and understanding where people come from, understanding their journey, being empathetic, putting yourself in their shoes, but also a sense of understanding in terms of the system to which they're navigating within and navigating through. And so combining those pieces together into a formula to say, I'm going to be here to support you in any way that I can. And I'm going to need you to help me to understand what you would like, what feels comfortable for you, what can you do and what you cannot do. And I have all day to do it. I have all day. Let's take our time. Let's focus on what feels right. Let's do something that is achievable. Let's build up the wins, even if they're little wins, little victories. And let's do this together. Let me see how I can access resources for you, what those resources may be, how long you need those resources, the severity of those resources, the supports. Really building, establishing a heightened sense of communication and understanding with those individuals. And knowing that it takes time and things are not always going to happen overnight, and you're probably not going to get everything that you request for, but at least we've honestly made a great shot in going forth to do so. And that is really the encapsulation of my experience as a social worker working with disenfranchised individuals or folks from disenfranchised communities, to help them access things that they need in order to move forward in life.
Yeah, I agree. I can't emphasize enough how you give up your time. You let the individuals in the community know that I'm here for you. That sense of wanting to hear from them and hearing what they need from you, I think that's really crucial. So I want
And
to
that
bring.
also speaks to the communal piece, that it speaks to the community piece, because, the work being done with those individuals, in my opinion, in those communities and those families, it is me contributing to a concept of community. Like, I got your back, I'm your community, and for them to see me in that light as this is someone from my community, my support community, for the sake of the argument, helping me along the way. And if I'm somebody who've experienced what they've experienced as well, oh my goodness, you better hold me back, because it's all here we go. Because then there is that self interest, that shared mutual understanding, that shared acknowledgement that I had mentioned before, that helps to drive me through the process. But at the same time, I have to be very careful if I've experienced something similar to make sure I'm not being re-traumatized, recurrent trauma. And I have to be healed effectively and officially myself and know those lines not to cross. So it's tricky, but that's just the way it goes. There's no simple pathway or simple process, right?
Yeah, I want to now hone in a little bit to specifically to Black men, since your work centers around this experience. So, to this aspect, how important is brotherhood in the healing process for Black men? If you can share a little bit about that.
I'll give you a personal example here. Every once in a while, I have a group of friends, men, black. Well, most of us are black men, and some of us are not in this group. But we all see each other as brothers, and we come together. And these are men who are professionals. They have their families. They have their lives to live, and they go through stuff like any other person, any other man. And we come together, I would say, probably 2 times a year. If we're lucky, 3 times a year. And we come together and we do activities like we play pool. We go out to restaurants, we go for walks, we just kind of sit and lounge. But what we do is we talk. We talk to each other. We give each other updates on how things are going. How are the kids doing? How's the family doing? How are the parents doing? How are like our parents doing? Cousins or other people who are close to us. How is the job doing? You know, where we're at. I mean, we go pretty deep in terms of where we are at as men. And we provide support to one another. It's like a shared counseling session, like a group counseling session, but not therapy. It is therapy, but we're not trained therapists. We're just folks that just talk about our truth. So we talk about our truth, our experiences, and we give each other feedback and we consult with one another. Sometimes we give each other feedback and that would be harsh, you know, but it would be a point where you know, we know where it's coming from and we support one another to get through any hard or difficult time. And every time we do connect, there's always things to talk about on the table. And so I bring this to you for the sake of indicating that when it comes to black men in particular, from my experience, that brotherhood piece is like a lifeline. It is something that we probably, as black men, don't speak about very often, but it is something that I think we all value. And it presents itself in so many different ways. It doesn't have to be like what I just shared with you, my friends and I coming together, sitting down and consulting with one another, having a meal with one another and talking about stuff, or playing pool and talking about stuff. It could also mean us going to the soccer field and playing soccer with one another, going to the basketball court and doing that. It could also mean us literally just going for walks, going, you know, on a casual mission, for example. We're going to go canoeing, going kayaking, going away on a boys' weekend type of thing. But the common denominator is being surrounded by your brothers, people who you believe and feel have your back, and people who you trust. And I think the key word is trust. And being around those folks who you respect, value, and trust, and being comfortable enough to share information that makes you feel vulnerable and taking you to that level of vulnerability and being comfortable with that in order to receive enough information in order for you to build yourself back up again. And that within itself is, in my opinion, a process of healing. It is also a process of being uncomfortable because most